Palestinians staged a general strike in the Israeli-occupied territories in Gaza and within Israel to protest the devastating airstrikes on Gaza and other Israeli policies. In the Israeli city of Haifa, which is home to both Jews and Palestinians, the news site Middle East Eye showed protesters waving Palestinian flags and chanting pro-Palestinian slogans. Al Jazeera reported that in the occupied West Bank, Israeli forces attacked protesters with drone-deployed tear gas and rubber-coated steel bullets. The two sides reportedly exchanged live fire, captured by an Al Jazeera reporter.
You have been living here. You were born and raised under occupation. What makes you think that this... We're seeing crowds are leaving. We're not sure what's going on. There are people, Palestinians, who are standing...
Hundreds of Palestinians burned tires in Ramallah and hurled stones at an Israeli military checkpoint. Troops fired tear gas and protesters picked up some of the canisters and threw them back. Three protesters were killed, more than 140 wounded in clashes with Israeli troops in Ramallah, Bethlehem, Hebron, and other cities. According to the Palestinian Health Ministry, the Israeli army said two soldiers were killed, or wounded, that is, by gunshots to the leg. The general strike was an uncommon show of unity by Palestinian citizens of Israel, who make up 20% of its population, and those in the territories Israel seized in 1967. In Gaza, Israeli airstrikes toppled a six-story building that housed bookstores and educational centers used by the Islamic University and other colleges, leaving behind a massive mound of rebar and concrete slabs. A strike launched from Gaza killed two Thai workers inside a packaging plant in southern Israel. Israeli strikes have killed at least 217 Palestinians, including 63 children in Gaza. About 1,500 Palestinians have been wounded. 12 people in Israel have died from rocket strikes launched from Gaza, including two children. At least 300 Israelis have been wounded. Silicon Valley Democrat Ro Khanna is among those calling on Congress to block Israel's use of U.S.-supplied weapons to attack Gaza. Khanna told MSNBC that President Biden should demand Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu agree to a ceasefire with Palestinian fighters in Gaza.
Children are dying, and Netanyahu, who is desperate to cling to power, is out there saying that he is doing this with the United States' support. The president needs to make it very clear. No, you are not. We need an immediate ceasefire. That means a ceasefire for Israel to stop the bombing, and it means a ceasefire for Hamas to stop the rockets so that both Palestinian lives and Israeli lives can be saved. And the United States Congress has to be unequivocal that none of our weaponry can be used in a way that violates human rights or dignity, that America doesn't stand for that. And we need to be very clear that we demand a ceasefire. If the president today calls up Prime Minister Netanyahu and says a ceasefire needs to happen, a ceasefire will happen.
Sources say House Foreign Affairs Committee Chair Gregory Meeks is expected to put a hold on Biden's $735 million arms sale to Israel, pending review, as soon as tomorrow. In a statement, Minnesota Democrat Ilhan Omar said, quote, "It would be appalling for the Biden administration to go through with $735 million in precision-guided weaponry to Netanyahu without any strings attached in the wake of escalating violence and attacks on civilians." European Union foreign ministers today called for a ceasefire to end the days of heavy fighting between the Israeli armed forces and Palestinian militants, but said that a longer-term political solution must be found to end decades of conflict between them. After chairing a video conference meeting, EU foreign policy chief Josep Borrell said there was widespread agreement among the ministers that the priority is the immediate cessation of all violence and the implementation of a ceasefire.
We support the right of defense to Israel and the right to security, also for the Palestinians. And we consider that security for Israel and Palestine requires a true political solution, because only a true political solution could bring peace. And for doing that, we need to restore a political horizon. Now the priority, the urgency, is to stop violence and to implement a ceasefire.
More from reporter Stuart Smith in Brussels.
After the informal meeting of ministers, High Representative Josep Borrell said the EU would send a representative to the region to pass on their message, while working with countries like the US to bring about a ceasefire. Countries like Hungary and Romania are taking a very pro-Israel stance, while others like Ireland and Belgium pro-Palestinian. That's made any joint action on behalf of the EU very difficult to make. At the same time, lawmakers in the European Parliament debated what the EU's position should be, with fiery support declared for both sides.
Stuart Smith, London.
At the United Nations, France called for a UN Security Council resolution on violence between Israel and Palestinian militants. As diplomats said, the U.S. told the body a public pronouncement right now would not help calm the crisis. The 15-member Security Council held its third private meeting in a week on the worst violence between Israel and the Palestinians in years. The council also met publicly on Sunday, but has been unable to agree on a press statement, which needs consensus support due to the objection of the United States. Reporter William Denislow.
The discussion is at the request of Norway, China and Tunisia, nations that have repeatedly called on the Security Council to issue a joint press statement calling for an end to hostilities. The United States has blocked such efforts, reportedly due to Washington's belief that behind-the-scenes diplomacy will be a more effective way of ending the violence. William Denslow, New York.
President Biden's press secretary, Jen Psaki, on the White House's low-key approach.
Our role in this conflict is to ensure that every conversation we're having, every statement we support, every action we take is toward the end goal of ending the violence on the ground to ending the suffering of the Israeli and Palestinian people. We're not going to take actions or steps that we think would hinder that effort.
Despite the increasing pressure for a ceasefire, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he will intensify attacks.
Our enemies see what price we are charging for the aggression against us. I am sure they will learn the lesson. We will continue the operation in Gaza, no matter how long it takes. We took on Hamas years back, and the enemies around us are learning their lessons of what we can do to them if they dare to attack us.
President Biden, in a conversation with Netanyahu today, is now said to be privately pressing for a ceasefire. That comes after many statements from the administration in support of Israel's attacks on Palestinians, saying Israel has the right to defend itself, which has sparked the ire of Arab nations and critics of Israel's occupation of Palestine. Meanwhile, the Palestinian ambassador to the United Nations, Riyad Mansour, is calling for humanitarian aid to Gaza.
213 Palestinians in the Gaza Strip were killed, among them 61 children, 36 women, 16 elders, and about 1,500 injured. And you add to that more than 30 Palestinians in Jerusalem and the occupied West Bank were killed and about 4,000 injured. 7,000 buildings in the Gaza Strip either damaged or destroyed, including a number of high-rise buildings, one of them also hosting many of your colleagues, journalists.
Al Jazeera reports a Jordanian convoy with hospital supplies was denied entry into Gaza. United Nations spokesperson Stefan Dujarric is calling for more entrances into Gaza to deliver humanitarian aid.
It is critical that the Erez crossing is also open for the entry and exit of critical humanitarian staff. Humanitarian access into and out of Gaza for staff and goods must be sustained and appropriate measures taken to ensure safe movement within Gaza. Overnight, we received extremely worrying reports of additional infrastructure, civilian infrastructure being hit in Gaza, including in the central COVID-19 testing lab and other health and humanitarian facilities. In addition, we continue to receive reports of significant displacement of Palestinians within the Gaza Strip.
Medical supplies, fuel and water are running low in Gaza, which is home to more than 2 million Palestinians and under an Israeli-Egyptian blockade since Hamas took power from rival Palestinian forces in 2007. Nearly 47,000 Palestinians have fled their homes. Israeli attacks have damaged at least 18 hospitals and clinics and destroyed one health facility. The World Health Organization says that nearly half of all essential drugs in the territory have run out.